Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back, Sports Huddle. Mike Max, Dave Monahan. You've been warned. You hear the cough in the background. Sid Hartman is in the house. Thad Levine, Minnesota Twins, joins us right now. Thad, thank you for giving us a few minutes. We were just talking. You got a couple of roster moves that were anticipated, but that you made today, fortifying or bringing back a couple of people to the 25-man and inactive duty.
Yeah, we are. We're encouraged to have Williams Astudillo get activated today. He went through a lot of rigorous rehab programming with our strength and conditioning and training staffs, traveling with the team, and he's ready to roll. And then Martin Perez, fresh off of having a second child, is going to be starting today. So we're encouraged to get closer to back to full strength.
You got the draft coming up. How about last year's draft? Did you come up with some real good players from last year's draft?
You know, I think we're really encouraged by the work that Sean Johnson and his amateur staff has done over the last couple of years. We've really added a lot of talent throughout the lower parts of our system, and I think we're seeing some of the fruits of that as some of our minor league teams have gotten off to really nice starts, you know, highlighted certainly by the Pensacola group, which is primarily guys that were drafted the prior year. But we've really started picking up some steam in Fort Myers and Cedar Rapids as well, and I think we feel all along like our goal is to make sure that we have waves of talent that are ready to come up to Minneapolis. We're not always sure 100% who it will be and when, but we are confident that we have some waves coming behind the group that is here now. And once again, I can't say enough about what Sean Johnson and his group has done to feed our pipeline.
Thad, you've been in baseball long enough to realize that the catcher position is often a black hole in lineups. MLB.com took notice during the week the production from your catcher position is the best in baseball and doesn't seem to be slowing down.
Well, it's been incredible. You know, I think it really just speaks to the length and depth of our lineup. When, you know, you got the 7, 8, 9 hitters who are performing extremely well across the board. But, you know, great point you're making there. The catchers have just been exemplary. I was joking with CJ Krohn. He caught a bullpen up in Toronto because Jason Castro was down for one day with his having been hit by a pitch. And ever since he caught a bullpen, he's been hitting extremely well at the plate. So whatever the catcher has caught, it was apparently infectious and he caught it as well because he's gone through the roof ever since he put on the catcher's gear. But, you know, you can't say enough about what Jason Castro, Mitch Garver, and Williams Astudillo have done behind the plate. Not only are they giving us a ton of production out of the catcher spot, but by and large, it's towards the bottom of the order. And that's when the pitchers are trying to let up, and we just don't let them let up because the bottom of our order has been extremely productive.
The Miguel Sano update, which we ask weekly, where is he at? Where are we at with it?
So he's now gotten up to AAA, which I think is obviously the last step on the path for him. Now it's just a matter of getting him comfortable with, you know, hitting off of close to major league caliber pitching and also getting his legs back underneath him. Because keep in mind, fellas, he really was deprived of a full spring training. So we're using as much of this rehab as we need to. We're really evaluating him. We want to put him in the best position to succeed. And then when he's ready to come up and help this big league team continue its winning ways, he will be added to the big league roster.
What's the latest on Sano? I mean,
we just asked that.
I guess they asked that.
Yeah.
How about, boy, you really signed some great free agents. How are they signed up? Are a lot of them free agents coming up after this season?
So, you know, the free agents that we added this past offseason, I think we were very selective about trying to get guys who could be part of this franchise for multiple years. And so when we got guys like Nelson Cruz, we got an extra option on him. Same with Martin Perez, so we could retain those guys for an additional year. And then as a function of being in the arbitration process, when we acquired CJ Krohn and Blake Parker, those guys are guys that we could retain through 2020 as well. Jonathan Scope was really the only free agent we added this offseason that would only be with us for 1 year. As we look to next season's free agent class, you know, it's probably a little bit premature to delve too deep into it. But one thing that we have seen is a lot of these guys have signed extensions, a little bit counter to what we've seen over the last handful of years. So what had been a very, very attractive class, a number of the premium players have signed So we're going to continue to monitor the upcoming class, but our primary focus at this point, as well it should be, is on the 2019 Minnesota Twins.
Dad, we know you've got another commitment. I want to ask one question, then we'll let you go. I think observers of baseball had to take heart and smile in the game last night with the shift on Eddie Rosario put down a perfect bunt down the third baseline. I think people have been saying for a long time, you know, at some point somebody's going to bunt and make people look bad with a shift, and he just did it perfectly.
You know, and I think it speaks to a lot of what we've seen out of the growth and development of Eddie Rosario. I mean, what a team move by him. You know, for a guy who's hitting in the middle of our order, has every ability to hit the ball out of the ballpark, he really just put the ball in play, passed the baton, turned into a nice little inning for us. And I think all of James Rousen always tells these guys, if you ever are complaining about the shift and seeing three infielders on one side of the second base bag, like, well, just bunt and take it away from him. And Eddie took him up on that, and he did it expertly. So I think it was a great team move. It was a selfless move by Eddie, and I think it's kind of consistent with some of the things we've seen out of Eddie over the last, you know, season and a half here as he's really matured at the major league level.
All right, Sid, you want to wrap it up?
TJ?
No, Thad Levine.
A pleasure to have you on the air, and for bringing you on the air, we'll get you a certificate to Murray's Restaurant, best steakhouse in the country.
Thank you, guys. Thank you for having me on, and happy Mother's Day to everybody out there listening.
Good one to get in. Thanks so much, Thad. That's Thad Levine. Back with more right after this. Sports Huddle. Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back. We've got P.J. Fleck going to join us in about 10 minutes. We're going to open the phone lines up. We haven't had a chance to talk to you. There's so much good going on with the Twins. I have a hunch we'll get a lot of baseball calls. But why don't we open the phone lines up right now in the next segment? So this is going to require you to call during the break. The number is 651-989-9226. 989-9226. By the way, that is our new fax number. Also, instead of the 81807, which I think has finally been disconnected. So either way, call 651-989-9226, and we'll talk to you or read your text right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, we are back. Kind of ambushed you there with that quick phone session, but you responded well. Let's alternate. We've got a lot of text messages, a couple callers on hold. Let's go first to the person who called us first. That would be you, Skip in Bloomington. Skip, what's on your mind?
Well, good morning, guys. Are they – Michael Pedetta, do they plan on keeping him in the rotation, or are they going to send him down? And another thought is that when they have a doubleheader, they can bring up an extra player.
Right.
Is that true? And
that's true.
If somebody's on the DL, do they get to bring another player up? Question.
Yeah. All right, there's several there. Mike, I'll alternate with you. There is no DL anymore. It's an injured reserve list. Instead of 15 days, it's 10, and you're seeing teams use that more and more. There's zero chance of Michael Pineda be sent down. I don't even know if he has any options left. Mike, I think he's just coming off of Tommy John surgery. He had a quality start yesterday. I think that they'll stick with him quite a bit longer, and I'm guessing their hope is that by June, when things get hot, that he'll be a good fifth member of the rotation.
I think he gave a back-to-back yesterday, but other than that, he was good.
Yeah,
are you hearing something in your ear too?
Yeah, I am. I don't know what it is. I'm just trying to ignore it.
I think he's a great number five starter. I mean, I thought he might be the 4 or 3, but Perez has obviously kind of supplanted him there.
Yeah, look at the number five starters throughout Major League Baseball. I think he'd be right near the top.
Yeah, and the DL, you know, all that. You know, Major League Baseball, you want the best players out there all the time.
Yeah.
So it makes it as flexible as possible so that you don't get – you know, if you got to catch C.J. Cron for 2 innings one night, okay, but make it easy for you to bring up a catcher and whatnot. Fans don't pay to see somebody
right.
to see some guy that can't play. So make it really easy for these moves to be made.
Yeah, I think they've done a good job. That 26-player rule was a good one when they put it in. The Twins took advantage of that yesterday. Actually, they used something kind of cute yesterday with that paternity leave, the short paternity leave, and it got them both Duffy and Stewart out of Rochester. Let's go to our next caller, and that would be Ron in Benson. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Congratulations on the Twins. They're a lot of fun to watch this year, but I'm going to just reflect back about 3 years ago. The Twins came out of spring training. I was down there and went to a couple games. They started the season 0-9, and I'm citing this example because they were in the 10th game of the season. They were playing Detroit. There was a 6th to 7th inning, and they had a one-run lead. Runners on 2nd and 3rd with a one-run lead in the 6th or 7th inning. The Twins batter had a 3-1 count, and he stood there and took strike two and got struck out on a called third strike. And it happens so often. And I thought, what kind of a hitting philosophy is this that they stand there and take strikes? And now this year, it's just a world of difference. They're swinging at the first pitch. They're teeing off on people. It's a delight to watch. And I just wondered if the previous hitting philosophy was that based on pitch count, or what's the difference here? And then I'll finish with a comment. Sid, keep buying those green bananas. Thanks for taking my call.
Mike, you know, Sid had a column on Rousen, the hitting coach. There's absolutely a change in attitude. That game we talked about on the air last week, when four consecutive swings on first pitch, I think it was two home runs and two doubles, they're up there swinging. I don't think you're going to 3-1 with two, looking at two strikes with this year's team.
No, and I think that, but I also think that's the philosophy that Crone and Cruz and Scope bring to, that's what got him to the big leagues. That's, you know, Rosario's not that picky. You know, he had the bunt last night. I couldn't believe, you know, but to add to that, and I think this is why I think I'm convinced they're going to be there through September, is that you don't have to have every player playing well. You can have two or three guys go through. You know, Rosario went through a terrible streak until maybe yesterday, got up it with three hits, and it didn't matter. They've got enough people, and that three-run home run will bail you out of a whole lot of things. And so philosophically, you know, is it a hitting instructor? Yeah, but these guys that they brought in, they've been around the block, so they've got their own philosophy on hitting.
Sid, we've got a question here on big league attendance. Somebody was watching the Twins on television. They said, you guys talk about attendance being down at Twins games. They were talking about what happened in Toronto. I don't know if you watched that series on TV in Toronto. There were massive areas of empty seats. And Toronto, I believe, I may have this wrong, I think Toronto has had the biggest, Twins had the second biggest drop in attendance. I think Toronto has had the biggest drop in attendance of any Major League Baseball team.
Talking about those $5 tickets?
No,
talking about attendance drop for some teams.
Attendance dropping throughout Major League Baseball.
Well, all over baseball is having trouble. I watch Yankee Stadium games. There's nobody there.
Yeah, that was interesting, too. And there's rain delays and whatnot,
It's unbelievable. I mean, I can't understand what's going on. The weather is actually bad all over. When they get better weather, I think they'll do a lot better.
Yeah, I think that the Twins certainly are going to see a turnaround now with the weather. If people have not listened, I'll have this weather forecast again in about 3 minutes. But it's
great now.
It's just remarkable how much better the next week is going to be. And the Twins are, you know, in town for at least part of the time playing the Angels.
But, you know, you guys know this very, very well. And I think the Vikings are the best at it in this town. The Twins have kind of gone a generation now without a lot of success.
Right.
And it's that generation thing we talk about with the Gophers. If you lose a generation, that means that the kids that were between the ages of 8 and 16 didn't see great success. So, you know, you get those 8-10 year periods. They've got to kind of come back as they come back from a recession a little bit. You lost a group there, because since they went to Target Field, they've been to the playoffs twice and never won a game.
All right, we're going to take a break here. Come back. P.J. Fleck is standing by. We'll talk to him right after this. You're listening to Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike. We are back. Time to talk Gopher football. P.J. Fleck, good enough to join us right now. P.J., did I read online that your team had a chance to meet Garth Brooks?
They did have a chance to meet Garth Brooks. Yeah, they're a lucky group of guys.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess there's friends in low places everywhere, you know?
Well, he would know. Sidney, P.J. Fleck.
Let me ask you this. Do you have some players who really dominate in the weight room?
Yeah, we do have a lot of players that are getting stronger. You know, Dan Nickel, I think, is one of the best strength coaches in the country, him and his entire staff. Coach Ben, Coach Cole, they do a tremendous job down there. So, you know, our guys are getting stronger, bigger, faster. And one thing I really have seen a change is our players truly enjoy being in the weight room. I think Dan Nickel gets the most out of our players. And they're all getting bigger. They're all getting stronger. They're all breaking records. And that's what we want to be able to see. You know, players are on a break here for 2 weeks, and then they'll come back for the summer school. And, you know, then they'll start their summer workouts.
This recruiting class, produce guys who might start this fall?
Well, there'll be a lot of guys that we have helped participate this year. You know, again, you know, being a developmental program, taking players in as freshmen and then develop them all the way through their senior year. You know, that's what we want to be able to do. There's a lot of guys who aren't even here yet come June. You know, the Tyler Newbins, D'Angelo Griffins. I mean, those guys are going to play for us. You know, DJ Gordon, Donald Willis, those guys aren't even here yet. They get here in June. We're really excited for them to get on campus and be with us. But, you know, we had a lot of guys from this past class that are really going to help us. And we just got to continue to build the depth and make them better football players, and then obviously make them better men off the field as well.
PJ, you mentioned kids who aren't here yet who you expect to play. How big a bonus was the four-game, preserving the redshirt rule? I would imagine in recruiting the opportunity to look at these kids and say, hey, you know, you're going to get a chance to play way more than you might have if you were coming in here two, 3 years ago.
You know, we talked last year about doing that, you know, and the guys like Curtis Dunlap Jr., a lot of guys on our football team that we did that with. And, you know, you've got to be willing to do it. You got to be willing to go through some really hard times to be able to build the program the right way, especially when you start over. And that's what we did. And we've invested in every class that we've had, playing guys at a very young age. You know, we've only had two major classes here. And now this will, you know, we're getting a chance to be able to have more and more guys on campus. And this will be really our second big class that we brought in. But we're excited about these guys. And they have an opportunity to play as a freshman, whether that's four games or the whole year. You know, great example is Daniel Falele last year. You know, we planned on redshirting him, and then we got to a point and said, hey, listen, let's just – he's going to learn by putting his hand on the fire and just let's go. But there's no such thing as four games anymore with him. We want to play him. We want to develop him, and he's going to develop into one of the best linemen we have. And we did that with him, and Curtis Dunlap Jr. was a little bit in a different way. We wanted to make sure we held on to that. So, I mean, Curtis is only a redshirt freshman right now, which is pretty scary and pretty – you know, hard to imagine, but we're going to take advantage of it with as many guys as we possibly can. But on the other hand, we're still going to need freshmen to come in and contribute.
Will Shannon, Winfield, and Smith be ready to go when practice starts this fall?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Winfield's already ready to go. He's 100%. Rodney's just about getting to 100%. Shannon's a little bit behind Rodney, so. You know, we've got, Sip does a tremendous job, our trainer, of getting our guys on the field when they're ready to go. And those three guys will be ready to go this fall.
Let me ask you a question about the quarterback position, because I always find it fascinating. And, you know, at most you got to have a good manager, and at best, you know, you have a great player. Is it more important when you coach a quarterback that you coach them to make plays or to not make mistakes?
Well, I that's a great question. I think most games in college football are lost, not won, you know, and whoever loses it last wins the game. You know, we talk about that to our football team all the time, not to play afraid and play scared, but understand how games are won and how games are lost. And the biggest part of that is the turnover battle. So what we want our quarterbacks to be able to do, and Kirk Ciarocca does this better than anybody else, is, you know, our system's our system. And we develop them within the system from a very young age all the way through. And there's things they continue to get better at. You know, last year we had two freshman quarterbacks. We knew there'd be takeaways. We knew there'd be turnovers. We knew we'd make some bad decisions. But you have to be able to go through those things. If you want to have success, you have to fail. And then you have to be able to come out of failing. You got to grow from failing. And I think Kirk does that better than anybody else when he coaches our quarterbacks. Is he allows them to fail, allows them to grow. But again, I agree with you, Mike, that, you know, it's a little bit more of, okay, here's the things that lose games, because there's way more that are lost than won. Let's not do this, all right? And I think that's when the whole takeaway and the turnover battle comes into play, that a punt is actually a really good play in football.
PJ, with a limited number of scholarships, do you have a philosophy on offering scholarships to specialty players like a punter, a place kicker, a long snapper?
I don't. I have my own philosophy in it. I'm not afraid to do it. If we need a punter, I'll offer a punter, and we'll have that punter for 4 years. Brady Weeks is our long snapper. We offered him a full-ride scholarship, and we got the number two long snapper in the entire country, and he's already here in the spring, and I don't have to worry about that for 4 more years now, you know, and the kicking battle is always competition. I thought Brock had a tremendous spring, and then we have some guys joining us here in June, so it's constantly competition. But I think when you really look at scholarship in somebody, especially at one of the specialists, they're going to have a unique skill set that you think is very, very good, and you feel like they can play for 4 years.
PJ, ask a question off the Gophers. You have a center with the Vikings that you played with you at Western Michigan. He started for 4 straight years. Tell me about him, how good he is.
Well, his name is John Kinoy. He was an undrafted free agent with the Vikings from Western Michigan. Just a wonderful young man from the state of Michigan. He was part of a big-time recruiting class we had when we were at Western Michigan University. And, you know, he came in, played as a freshman, and did a tremendous job, became all-conference. And, you know, he's a gritty player. He's tough. He's grindy. Incredibly intelligent. I mean, I'm not sure if he actually got a B in throughout his entire time in college. I think it was all A's. Very intelligent young man, loves the game, and I think the Vikings are going to be really excited about him because I think he's a little bit of a hidden gem, you know, and when you get undrafted free agents, sometimes they can sneak up on you and be really, really good. I think John can be one of those guys in the National Football League. He's got a lot of work to do, but he's with a great organization. He's in a great city, obviously, in a great state, and we're happy to have him here.
Along those lines, when you have walk-ons that you give scholarships to, all things being equal, do you weigh a lot as to how good they are academically and try to reward that part of it, or is it purely on playing ability?
No, it's everything, Mike. It's academically, athletically, socially, spiritually, it's everything. You know, do you make your life bigger than yourself? Do you have really good grades? Do you do all the right things off the field? And, you know, the football part's the last thing. We've given a scholarship to a third-string kicker who never saw the field in his entire life. It's all about rewarding what the program is about, rewarding what the culture is about, and continue to move that culture forward. And it's not just about the best players. It's about the best people we have. And if we can continue to bring out the best people in all of our players, we're going to be a really good football team.
Is there any limit how good this offensive line can be this year?
Well, Brian Callahan, I think, is one of the best offensive line coaches in the country, and he's been with me 7 years now. What I've been able to see from him points all arrows to this offensive line being really, really good, because I've watched him take average offensive line as a unit and make them really elite by the end of the year. I've watched him take really, really good offensive linemen and make them elite throughout the year. I've seen him take not-so-good offensive linemen and make them really good. So he's a tremendous developer of talent on and off the field. He's a wonderful human being. And this offensive line has a chance to be whatever it wants to be. You know, and we're still very young, but now we're experienced, which is way more positive than it was last year. And you can see the growth that we're having. We'll never arrive. We'll never be able to say, here we are. We're a work in progress every day, but I really like how that line's developing.
PJ, going back to your days at Western Michigan and following it on the internet, I've never seen a football coach who has more ingenious ways of awarding scholarships to surprise people. Do you have a playbook on it? Where do you come up with those ideas?
We have a lot of people that meet on them. We're about creating moments and memories. That's what college is all about, right? You go to college, you go away from home, and you create these experiences and moments for 5 years and really shape the rest of your life. We want our players to be able to remember their experiences. When you give a scholarship away, that's a very important a day for that student athlete, their parents, their family, not only professionally in terms of what they're doing every day and the work they're putting in, but financially, right? And this is a huge reward. We never want them to forget it. Not only that, we never want our state to forget it. We don't want our teammates to forget it. We want 15, 20 years down the road for people to talk about those days when we gave those scholarships, because that's what you remember. You're not going to remember the sixth play of the Iowa or Wisconsin game. You're not going to remember the score half the time. You're going to remember those moments and memories, and that's what we want to continue to create. Garrett Chernoff, who's our general manager, we have a team that kind of a creative team we get together with and come up with all types of ideas. And then, you know, Heather Fleck, my wife, I mean, she comes up with some of them as well. It's really all about them. It's about their interests, their needs. You know, we did Bailey Schoenfelder last year. You know, he wants to be a Navy SEAL. And so it's one of those things that's why we brought Brent Gleason in, who was a former Navy SEAL, in to reward the scholarship as they jumped out of airplanes and things like that. So we find out what that student athlete really likes, and then we make it all about them.
PJ, before I give it back to Sid to wrap it up, you mentioned Heather. It's Mother's Day for all our listeners. I would imagine you might have some special wishes for Heather and maybe the moms of the ball players.
Yeah, happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there who listen to the show. Not only that, all of obviously our Gopher family, happy Mother's Day to all of them. And obviously happy Mother's Day to my wife, Heather. I mean, the things she does on a daily basis inspire me. And she truly holds our family together, and it's amazing what she does every day. So happy Mother's Day to everybody out there.
Well, I guess some fantastic plans for Gopher football, and you better get their tickets. They got a great schedule, and they're going to win a lot of games. So get down the ball and get those tickets. Meanwhile, PJ, Tim Murray always loves it when you come to Murray's, and we'll get you a Murray's certificate, and good luck to you.
I appreciate it, buddy. Row the boats. Guy, my go Gophers. Happy Mother's Day.
All right, that's PJ Fleck back with more right after this. Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. All right, I have a number of text messages, six of them that have to do with the Timberwolves. Almost all of them have to do, will the new head of basketball operations have full autonomy to make all the basketball-related decisions? Sid?
I'm waiting for him to announce Saunders as the coach. I think there's no doubt that he's going to be the coach. I think that's part of the deal with TaylorMade, and they're in Chicago right now looking at the recruits, and this guy's got a lot of problems. He's got a lot of guys to sign. I mean, I bumped into Wiggins' father the other day at the post office. They live here full time, and I'm going to try and get him in the near future on this show. See if we can talk to him.
All right, let me ask you this, Sid, because this is one of the text messages. Do you think it was a condition of his hiring that Saunders remain coach, or is that decision, is the coaching decision really up to the new hire?
I think he and Taylor got a deal that this guy will be the coach. I mean, I just can't see any way where they won't bring him back. The players want him in a worse way. And I say at least for 1 year, he'll be the coach.
I had a long Mike. One-on-one interview with Gerson for TV the other day, so I sat and talked to him for a long time, and he is adamant about that it's his call. He keeps using this word partners. And I think one of the reasons that he was hired was that they see him as a guy that integrates himself into the entire organization, the business side, which, as you know, Dave, is separate from the basketball side. And I think that's what brought him to the forefront and why Ethan Caston had a big say in that, along with the committee with Jim Peterson and John Thomas. And he keeps using that word partner. And I think he wants Saunders to be partner. But one interesting name, and I think this would be a long shot, but he had J.B. Bickerstaff at Houston. Bickerstaff has interviewed with Cleveland and interviewed with the L.A. Lakers for those jobs. So you don't know exactly how Gerson perceives him, but he has been with him long enough to at least have formed an opinion.
Yeah, that is an interesting name to reckon with. You know, watching Houston in the playoffs and watching the Timberwolves, you talk about two different styles. I mean, it's going to be amazing to see what impact he's going to have on the Timberwolves, because they will not look like the Timberwolves of old.
In reference to that, I also talked to him about what could you do with Karl-Anthony Towns that would mirror James Harden, and he's obviously thinking those ways. He calls his Towns team. Mitchell Wiggins, you mentioned, Andrew's father, I see him all the time at the health club, visit with him, and he's a former NBA player as well. You don't hear him mention Andrew's name, though. You hear him mentioning Karl-Anthony Towns and how can we create something a little bit like they did with Harden to make him the focal point and build a couple around him.
All right, we're going to take a break here, come back, and we'll talk more sports on the other side. You're listening to Sports Huddle, Sid, Dave, and Mike. We are back. We've got some text messages to go through. Also got a caller. Jerry, thanks for hanging around. Jerry in Odessa, what's on your mind?
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I was just going to call on the I'm not a Yankee fan, but I do appreciate what they do with their uniform. When they have a home game, they wear white. We had a game last night. It looked like the home team was the Detroit Tigers. They were in white. We're wearing blue. It's wrong. And I've been a fan since 63, and I kind of like what they're doing.
You're not a fan of the softball unis?
No. I'm a fan of the Minnesota Twins, not some kind of stamped-on stuff. I like the Sodian jerseys, and yeah. So
Jerry,
that's all I got.
We'll put that down. Thanks for your observation. Yeah. Guys, I've got a text message here. It's a good text message, and it's an area we haven't talked about. But we were talking about why the Twins are improved, and this texter said, limited base running errors, direct correlation to new coaching assignments. This is a glaring improvement from last coaching regime and hires. You know, it's not an area of baseball that gets talked a lot. Mike, I'll turn to you first, because we did talk about the batting and all those first pitch strikes that they hit for homers and doubles against the Astros. But, thinking about what this person's written about, I think it deserves some discussion.
The only thing is, I'll say, if they didn't pick up on base running, they weren't listening, because Paul Molitor was an outstanding base runner, and he was a big believer that you give away or nullify innings with poor base running, and he wasn't a big believer that you have great speed. So I don't know. This team is not a fast team, so maybe that makes it easier to not make mistakes, because you don't need to take a lot of risks. Buxton's the only one that can fly, and when he hits one to the gap, it is fun, it is fun to watch. Yep. But I think it's maybe just because they're more conservative.
Sid, I don't know if you've noticed this, but I don't know if the Twins have really made a base running mistake around third base this year. Almost everybody who's been sent has gotten home, and that's a field of study, to study the throwing arms of the outfielders, and it seems that the Twins have taken limited chances, but when they take one, it looks like a chance, they've been safe at home plate almost every time. So that could be another symbol of what the texter is talking about. Sid, you had a column on James Rawson, the batting coach for the Twins. Well, I certainly think he should get high grades for what's happened so far.
He's done a fantastic job. He was with the Yankees before, and I'm surprised the Twins got him away from the Yankees. And he's done the way those guys have hit. It's unbelievable. A couple of those guys are in a little slumps right now. Rosario is in a slump. But overall, they've been fantastic.
And you guys say pitching coach, too. We don't know a lot about Wes Johnson, but the numbers are speaking for themselves. And even this whole idea of closer by committee that I thought, when you're winning, you're winning, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, look at the record of the Twins' relief pitchers. And then with the starters now putting quality start after quality start, it's a lot easier to manage your bullpen when you're not bringing them in the third and the fourth inning.
Yeah, when you came into this knowing there was a doubleheader and you hadn't chewed up any innings in Toronto because your starters had gone so far, then you had a day off. That's how you win. That's how you win division titles.
No doubt about it. Sid, you got something you want to add?
Looks like they got a fantastic coaching staff.
Yeah, I think that's what this person was saying. Hey, let's give some credit to that staff.
All the guys they kept, and all the new guys at pitching coach, college pitching coach,
Wes Johnson. Yeah,
turned out fantastic. Let's see, they play again today, and then they got a series with Angels. And then they go on the road to Seattle and Los Angeles.
Well,
yeah, Dave, you were not there, but at Twins Fest this year, there was one of those precious moments when we had Rocco Baldelli and Wes Johnson on the stage, and Sid's question, well thought. He says, not to be negative, but you've never been a pitching coach. How can we be excited about this?
Well, so far, so good.
Yeah.
And here, I'll just change direction. We've got about a minute and a half to go. Somebody said, millennials will not fill collegiate venues. You can give away the free seats and the millennials won't be there. There are a lot of people in the generation above the millennials that are a lot younger than the people currently occupy the seats. I think that's where the greater hope is.
Yeah, and I was talking to Mike Nowakowski from Ticket King about this. He says our stadiums are too big right now. That's why I like that the volleyball team, they keep playing there and making a tough ticket and make it loud and make it whatever else. But, aside from the Vikings, which are a standalone, I don't know how you begin to ascertain what to do and how to market yourself and how you get the millennials.
Yeah, and we've got a text message, Mike, that as we close here, it goes perfectly with that. They said, how about giving a call out to the teams that are drawing and are doing well with you, many of which are the women's teams. Volleyball tickets are the toughest tickets around. Try to find a ticket to softball. You can't do that.
So, and the Vikings just keep going.
Hats off to those teams. All right, we'll be back at 11:05 to talk to Tom Curvers, and we've got Jonathan Scope in that hour. We'll try to get you involved as well as you listen to the Sports Huddle with Sid, Dave, and Mike.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.